Blog Talk Radio.
Watching you as you're dreaming, the dreams I thought I knew. Your smile shows the reason I watched it all come true. Your touch is cold and distant,
talented Shout Even Shot, singing the words you cannot say. You have bumped into a little program on Blog Talk Radio called A Team of Voices. This is Open Poetry with AP Taylor. I'm sitting here with the head of our group, Deborah Lee. Hi, Deb. How are you?
I'm okay. How are you?
I am fine. And we're also sitting here with the person who is a poet, but mainly he does fantasy football. That's what he does. And that's Jay Hatter, who wrote that song. Hi, Hatter, how are you?
I am cold. It's cold.
Cold?
In California.
Yeah. Well,
yeah, it's down to 45.
Yeah. that's cold. Yeah, no, we've been heading across 100 here a couple of times, and so summer's trying to work out a way to be summer. We've had stupid amounts of rainfall and people flooded, and it's absolutely ridiculous.
Really?
So we've had a... So,
do you have flash floods?
Anyway.
Do you have flash flooding?
We do in the countryside. We do in the countryside in rural areas, yeah, because what tends to happen, that, you know, creek beds just sit there and they don't look much like creek beds until it rains a lot, and then they look a lot like creeks. Yeah, you do get flash floods here, quite surprisingly. Yeah, so
that's like Southern California. Southern California, they have the the rains, if they have a wet winter, the El Nino, yeah, it comes in and yeah, a lot of growth grows, and yeah, that starts the mudslides too. Which in, with the, if the yeah, grasses all disappear from the slides of the fires, then it's all a mess.
Well, that's it. Actually, we get the opposite to what you get. I think that's how it works, Hatter. So if you're in El Nino, we're in La Nina or something like that, there's a balance and yang to all of this. And yeah. So if it's on one side's on one side of the the ocean, then we're on the other. So it's a sort of, I'll go for that at some point. But it's really moderately complicated. But anyway, it is. And so we've got an open poetry show, and we've got a couple of classic poems. I might start with the Australian classic poem first. Did you bring a poem of yours, or did you want to go and grab one?
I did. I found an obscure one deep in the vault. And
I like that. Let me do my sure, little favourite one first, and then we'll put yours on the board. This is an incredibly famous Australian poetess who wrote this poem when she was in England. If you've been to England, you'll know what it feels like at 18 or 19 to be sitting there going, oh, God, Jesus, what have I done, compared to being in Australia. This is a lady called Dorothea McKellar. My country goes a little bit like this. The love of field and coppice, of green and shaded lanes, of ordered woods and gardens is running in your veins. Strong love of grey-blue distance, brown streams and soft dim skies, I know, but cannot share it. My love is otherwise. I love a sunburnt country, a land of sweeping plains, of ragged mountain ranges, of droughts and flooding rains. I love her far horizons, I love her jewel sea, her beauty and her terror, the wide, bland land, the wide brown land for me. A stark white ringed barked forest, all tragic to the moon, the sapphire misted mountains, the hot gold of hush of noon, the green tangle of the brushes, where the lively Aina's call, the orchids deck the treetops, and ferns the warm dark soil. Core of my heart, my country, a pitiless blue sky. When sick at heart around us, we see the cattle die, but then the grey clouds gather and we can bless again. The drumming of an army, the steady soaking rain. Core of my heart, my country, land of the rainbow gold. The flood and fire and famine, she pays us back threefold. Over the thirsty paddocks, watch after many days. The filmy vein of greenness that thickens as we gaze. An opal-hearted country, a willful, lavish land. All you who have not loved her, you'll not understand. Though earth holds many splendours, wherever I may die, I know to what brown country my homing thoughts will fly. End poem.
Who's that?
There is Dorothea McKellar. She wrote it when she was, I think, 19 in England. An all-time classic Australian poem. All-time classic.
Is that right?
Especially good.
I saw you used Sapphire Mist Mountains, a hot gold. Oh, that's not it. The rainbow gold.
Yes, the rainbow.
Is that a term used for Australia in different
What's
ways,
that?
like our purple mountain majesty, the golden rainbow gold.
Not so much. The second stanza is the one. The sunburnt country, the land is sweeping plains. You speak to most Australians, they can recite that second stanza.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yep.
That's why it's darker? You have it darker than
that? I don't know. I have no idea. But that is the famous stanza in the poem. That is, as I said, that is so well known, it's ridiculous. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so Deb, what did you think of that one? I love that poem, by the way.
I thought it was fabulous, especially that closing stanza, and the opal-hearted country. it seemed like very apt that she called it that, because like there's veins of opal running through us.
Yeah.
And so opal hearted seemed, you know, perfect. But her rhyme and her flow, definitely loaded with pride for country. I think she did an amazing job with this.
No, I agree. Especially at that very young age, so that she wrote it. So Hannah. You found a poem from the vault. So we will need to put that up on the board, I think.
Yes, I did. Okay. Right there.
Okay, perfect. Now, are you happy to read, or did you want me to read it for you?
No, you go ahead and read it. My eyes have been bothering me lately. Please.
Okay. Right. Let's give this a go. This is about 3 years ago, Hannah. This is Poet Pies, and it goes a bit like this. Places I remember but have never been, watching tomorrow play pretend to be someone I have never met, and things I've dreamed but will never get. Flying wingless, the wind exhales like a kite tethered down by the length of its tail, gathering wishes to calm my dream. Dark-shadowed figures and blood-curdling screams. Enter now that grey ragged troll, hidden silence fearing for your soul. Feelings of terror race down my spine, watching it feed one soul at a time. Holding my breath in a dark sunken bog, rising the stench of the unsettling fog. Sounds of gutting poets, he knows your names, stand low and frozen, ignoring the pain. Watch long distant shadows that reach to the sky, calling the names to fill poet pies, drawn by sword hung from the trees with flesh-ripping cord. Smells of choking, gurgles of blood, poaching in rivers of hot boiling mud. Silent you stand, fearing your fate, praying the dawn doesn't come too late. Thrown down the hole, you taste the earth, feeling the rocks from a shovel of dirt. Closed eyes can see what is never outspoken. Night terrors bend until you are broken. He rides in search for your brain to cook with fire he throws when you rise to look. Headless, he sees in the dark where you hide. Fear is his weapon he straps to his side. So heed this warning. 'Tis true, this tale. He knows where you are when he rises from hell. End poem.
Thank you.
Hey. Well, that's dark, Hatter. Sort of person going out and knocking off all the poets one by one. He knows where you are. Don't bother to hide. He'll come and find you. Knock you off anyway. Very dark. Deb, what did you think of that one from Hatter? I haven't heard that one before. Hatter? Deb?
Yeah, no, I've never heard this one before either, but like, it's pretty wicked. I think he just knocked off half the site with some of these couplets here. And then, of course, with the Hatter rhyme and the flow.
Mm.
And I like that each couplet rhymes rather than, like, working its way down the page. It was pretty cool. But what struck me, actually, was that I see Gerald's comment there, and it says, yikes, he's coming for me. Fun poem that carries me to the end. I thought that was really, really cool. Fun read, Hatter.
Yeah, trying to let everybody know that the most important people in society are the poets, right?
Yeah, yeah. So that's why they're worth knocking off. Yeah.
Hey, some of the old writings and songs are the scientist, the mathematician, the doctor, and the poet. You don't hear that anymore.
Yes. No, you're right. No, you're right. You don't. Okay. Now, Deb, did you
thanks
want to read your poem?
Thanks for reading it.
Oh, pleasure. Adam?
And what did you say, AP?
Oh, just wondering if you could put your poem on the board and read it next, Deb.
I sure can. Let me grab it now. And I'm taking it to the chat wall.
Cool.
Making it to the street. Okay.
Perfect. Well, bring your hands to.
Alrighty. You see it, Hatter?
Running down the hall with scissors now. Yeah, I got it.
Put the damn scissors down. Okay. So this is called You Blew Up Your World All by Yourself. Here we go. People are just little pawns that you play with, pointing to the cornflower blue that tints the skies, labeling it petunia petal pink as you do. But I see the sky color with my hazel green eyes. Not getting your way, you see red. The toddler tucked inside you tiptoes out, then you stomp your feet on the floor just like spoiled little brats, and you shout as you pick up your ball and head out the door. Now you play the emotional blackmail card, screaming that you'd be better off dead, all because things don't go as you planned. But I'm not buying one word that you've said. You cannot brainwash me into seeing your point of view. I call the bluff that you're dangling over my head. You shoot yourself in the foot night and day, trapping yourself in a web of lies you weave, cheating and stealing and blowing up your world. But it's you, not me, that you deceive. My rose-colored vision is now as clear as window glass. All the little mirror and smoke pony shows failed, and we cannot clear the slate. So, just go ahead. Try to blow yourself up. I'll wait and pull.
A little bit of Star Trek. How's that? Go feed. I haven't heard Star Trek for ages, and there it was sitting in a palm. That was fun, Deb. I sort of, we all know people of that inclination. You're right. And it's kind of fun sometimes just to watch them slowly dismantle themselves, which they do eventually. So, and I thought that you should capture that very well.
Very true. Thank you so much. Glad you liked
that. And Hannah, did you want to say a few words about Deb's piece?
Do you have hazel eyes? Hazel green eyes?
Yes, I do.
There you go.
I should expect my sister to have same colors I have. Now, I see the, not the antagonistic, but it reminded me of when you want to blog something, you want to sort of piss both sides off to get things started. So like mm-hmm. you say, Trump such a dork, I can't yep. believe I'm going to actually vote for a woman for president. And then just sit back and
yep.
watch.
Yep. You see, so you throw the you're going to throw the verbal hand grenade
yeah.
pattern.
Yeah, yeah. There you go. Exactly.
There you go. There you go.
Thanks.
Okie doke. Well, not too dissimilar, Dirk. I've got a Pombo Lockdown Lux he sent in. Thank you to Lockdown Lux. He regularly sends pieces in. This is the Never Was. It goes a little bit like this. Purple sings to me in quiet tones of understanding. Though eloquence is greater than the touching of a heart, rhyme brings to me mystifying insanity zones. Constructing a rhythmic singing, can I connect the can be one be and play a part? Agony that stings me. I never was just Mr. Jones, no command of word painting and telling the show's plan. Why am I so set apart? Hope clings to me. If you feel it in your bones, don't polarize this thing. Let it all in as a kinsman. To be true, then, is the art in poem. That's interesting. I'm just sitting here reflecting as I've read that. I love the final rhyme line because it's almost like each stanza is a long combined line, and it's kind of fun. Deb, what did you think of Lockdown Lark's piece?
I like this, and I like the way the way he laid it out, like starting with the one line, purple sings to me in quiet tones of understanding. Well, you know, I'm a fan of purple, so the fact that he started there got me. But I like rhyme brings to me mystifying insanity zones, constructing and rhythm singing. I mean, it's a very cool write, and to go mono rhyme with the last word of each stanza was pretty cool too. Mm. I was looking to see if it was any kind of form, but it looks like it's just something he was inspired by a quote. Very cool.
Yeah.
Thanks, Lockdown.
Yeah, I think that's right.
Sure.
Agreed. Hannah, what did you think of Lockdown Lark's piece?
Yeah, I was rereading it a couple of times here. So it was inspired by a prompt used to be with a project that's
purple.
Okay. It never was. I like the term I never was just Mr. Jones. Anytime I hear that, the Bee Gees sang a song a cappella, Have You Seen My Wife, Mr. Jones? Yeah, you know what song I'm talking about? Have You Seen My Wife, Mr. Jones? It's actually Landslide. It's called Landslide, I believe.
Yes. Yeah, I know it.
Excellent. Yeah, very good. Like, I mean, there's always some meaning back in Lockdown's poem. You got to be able to get it. This is very good.
No, I thought it was a very good piece. I really like that one. As I said, you can hear me thinking at the end of the piece when I read it. Okie doke, I am now on our regular contributor, Lawrence 67. Who has sent us another piece on the adventures of Nigel the Fat Cat and his homie Alfie. And this is called Cat on a Hot Tin Roof. And it goes a bit like this. Hi, come in, have a seat, grab an hors d'oeuvre or two and kick back. Nigel and Alfie will be right out in just a minute for the matinee. We will have a short question and answer session beforehand. Yes, the young lady in the second row. Hi, my name is Kitty. Nigel and Alfie have great bodies. I wonder if they've done any adult-type videos. Great question, and the answer is Alfie did pose once for a doggy magazine entitled Delicious Bee. And now, ladies and gentlemen, introducing for your entertainment pleasure the stars of the show, Nigel the Fat Cat and his homie Alfie in Cat on a Hot Tin Roof. Alfie, oh yikes, hot. Nigel, look, I'm a cat in a hot tin roof. Ouch, yikes, hot. Oh, yeah, yay. Nigel, dumbass. Thank you. End pop. Yeah, I should say we are a sort of 13 sort of show. I did a little bit of self-censoring on the way through, Lawrence, if you're wondering why that was, just because I don't want to get us in any trouble. Hannah, what did you think of that piece?
I'm not sure his intention, but it's, what is it? Is it the it's a satirical skit on a phrase.
Yeah. That's right.
Look at my cat. Eddie Murphy. Reminds me of Eddie Murphy when he does a James Brown.
Yeah.
He did that skit. Yeah. They go, hot tub, too hot. Hot tub, too hot.
Yeah.
Lowering in the hot tub, it's too hot.
No, I see that too. And Deb, what did you think?
Yeah, you know, he's good at these little humor pieces, and he entertains it with these characters, Nigel and Fat Cat and homie Alfie. Some of the adventures that they have been on have really cracked me up, and I have to say I got a kick out of it when Nigel said dumbass. It's fun. I mean, you know, it's just a really fun piece, and I like the way you put some inflections into this one, and a little bit of difference in your voices and stuff. Great job, both of you.
Thank you. I'm getting more to know his style, which is good. Now, I'm just looking at the next poem here, which was from Dave Prophet. Do we have a SoundCloud that fits with this?
I don't believe so. Let me go look here. I don't think we had any SoundCloud this week. I'm just making sure we didn't have anything. Oh, it looks like an Eric Clapton song at the bottom. Oh, it's Elton John. Huh? No, it's a song.
It's a Runaway song. Train.
Yeah, it must have been part of the inspiration. But no, I don't have any sound clips.
Okay.
Oh, you know what it is? I think he wanted it played while it was being read, like sort of in the background. But sadly,
yeah,
it doesn't work very well unless it's already on the recording. One always drowns out the other. I've tried to do that before.
Yeah, look, I'd love to do it, but the other piece about it, just Dave, for us, is that because I'm in Australia.
Does he say what song that is? We don't know what song that is.
What song?
Do we know what song that is that he's got there?
Yeah. Having a quick look at it.
It says Runaway Train, which is a really good song, but like I said, it is. You can't hear both. For one, I think AP was starting to say, with the lag between the places, it never seems to work out. I mean, it was an interesting thought, but just have to read it as it stands.
I mean, I was just trying to get to the bottom of it, as you do. But anyway, this is Dead Stick on Loco number 9. It goes like this. Diesel, electric demon, iron and steel, cacko demon, in absence of all regrets, vengeance assets. Hand-built heavyweight, 300 tons of bad attitude skill, two V12 diesels motivate your electric drive motor wheels. Cruel and glistening cow catcher, depleted uranium front dispatcher, cuts your drug mobile in two, 110 mile an hour right in front of you. She always has the right of way, doesn't hear what you have to say, wouldn't give a damn anyway. 6,500 horsepower, unlimited torque, the devil's own carving fork. If I were you, I'd get the hell out of the way. Things from those that tried, beat her across that forever divide. She knows what you're thinking and your thoughts, adjusts her speed to a drive motors in megawatts. She's the very dark side of me, I like to let her out just to see. How's she feeling today? Loco number 9 out to play. Take me out, David, let's go to play. Show me the world again today. She sits with her cars in my backyard, railroad tracks of time ancient and scarred. Hides inside an invisible mirage, simmering in diaphanous camouflage. You can't see her, but I can. She lets me know if she understands, because I built her, I made her. Who she is in those times that are, and those that were. Pulls a train of cars, quarter mile long, loaded down with shooting stars that make strange songs. She's part of my dark soul, part vengeance makes her whole. Dirty, 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 dirty on you. Soot black and fire red smokestacks flew. I climb in her engineer's seat, fits like it's part of me replete. She's standing, guarding up, rumbling beneath floorboards, grumbling. Come on, dear man, take your girl out on the town. Let's not go the same old route. So I kiss her throttles, then I heard her say some bad souls I should murder. What say you, my man? Yeah, I know some new ones. Bad ones, you understand. Show them to me, my love. I advance her throttle, easing forward. Give it to me, David, you're my man. Show me engines you understand. Dark, dusky vibrations front to rearward. Loco number 9 let loose on the night picks up speed, such a terrible flight. For I could not restrain her with all my might. wondrous apparition, such a terrible sight. We're on the main track, picking up speed, hunting for evil to satiate her need. She can read the pain in my soul. For this she extracts such a terrible toll. Rounding the bend of the northwest tangent track, picking up speed, blessed by the best. Into tomorrow, I will never look back. The two skulls on the front with their red gleaming eyes, wheels, motor DC voltage shunts as the loco's features mesmerise. She's terrible to drug dealers by all measure, death to them is my only treasure. They're sitting across the railroad crossing, arrogance holding up, middle fingers tossing. She raises her bloody cowcatcher's prow, thinking they'll escape her wrath somehow. Her red written speedometer reading 165, half a million tons, no one gets out alive. The closer she gets turns them a whiter shade of pale, too late the realisation she plays for keeps, they're fail. Sees the glaring smoke-stained skulls peering red glare, staring into them the jokes now on them as we stare. I whisper to her throttles, kill them, honey, kill them all over their ginny. They can't have escaped my deadly wrath. After all, they're sitting right in my path. Would have a whole night wind blowing it in the air thereafter. A true story, truth be told. Time slows down as we curve space-time, her cowcatcher slicing that Lincoln Navigator, rending it right in two. Drug dealers and parts thereof no longer in line become parts of yesterday and tonight. Their nightmares, wholly their fright, brilliant red fireballs, light, scattered parts in the moon's queer light. Blood looks back in the moonlight. I hear her moaning, Lou David, a locomotive, I think. Thank you, my man. I can smell diesel fuel, cotton candy and gunpowder. There's a purple vapor floating inside loco number 9. She's dead stick at the crossing, no longer under my control. The authorities picking up all the pieces. Railroad doesn't know how it happened. She's in my backyard once again, inside a mirage, inside her dark mother's camouflage. I kiss her throttle levers once again. She giggles, saying, I love you, man. The dark mother whispering to me, David, my man, do you like my toy? She is just so vicious. You two look good together. She loves you, you know, but not more than little old me. Her husky voice sounds too much like loco number 9 pillow talk to me. The dark mother's voice trailing off into the early morning hours. End poem. There you go. That's the new one, Dick.
Yeah.
The skull locomotive. Thanks, Deb.
Well, for one, I think after the show, I'm going to listen to it with the song playing. But that picture that he wrote to it is really awesome. And I like, well, you know, he's great with the details, like the cruel and glistening cow catcher. But there was one part that took me big time where it says, I knew I shouldn't have moved this. It was her going after the drug dealers. It felt sort of like a soapbox where she was standing up against the drug dealers, that she would go after them and pulverize, and I can't find it to save my life. But this was like epic. Like I said, with the details and the conversations,
yeah.
He was one of the first poets I knew that he put more conversations in his poetry than anyone I had ever read before. That's probably where he started getting the... I found it. It says, she's terrible to drug dealers by all measures. Death to them is my only treasure. They're sitting across the railroad crossing, arrogance holding up middle fingers, tossing. And it's got the AABB rhyme thing going, and I think that he did a bang-up job with it. And who would have thought, I'll never think the same of Runaway Train after reading this poem.
No,
really cool, David.
Yeah, thanks, Doug. Hannah, what did you think of that one?
Yeah, this is somebody who's got knowledge of trains. Probably had Lionel. I knew a couple kids growing up that they were all into Lionel trains, and they knew what each engine was and what decade it came from.
Yes.
And it's remarkable the knowledge that these trained people acquire. But I have all the respect in the world for trains. When I was a kid, we used to go up on the Snake River and fish overnight when you go up to Idaho. The thing was, where we would fish, it's a big bend in the river, in the Snake River, and it's right under some train tracks. Now, when we secure our poles and we take sleeping bags and we sleep, you know, there on the dunes for a couple hours until dawn.
Yep.
But that train track is usually have like 100 car trains that fly, and I mean they are flying, and it leans out because we're out on the outside bend of the train tracks. So you're sitting and you see hear this train coming at you, and they're so loud. And you're right, basically right underneath them, and they lean out over you. And they used to scare the hell out of me. Those freight trains, and they'll go on forever.
Yeah, cool.
But
well, thank you, Hatter. Thank you, Deb. Thank you. To Dave. I've now put my poem up on the board. Then we've got the classic poem that Deb put up. And then we'll talk about what's happening over the week, Deb. So let's roll on with this one. This is He Chooses Not by A.P. Taylor. It goes a little bit like this. Together we can discuss the trees of patterns and boughs of bark. We could, but those forests remain dark. A whisper of waterways turn to seas, and conversations a navy weave. Could, but not, from the day I decided to leave. Decisions to be made about the world long after the last blade been parried. Could, but chooses not, even to the day that he married. As comets move in an orbit distorted past the stars and moons so bright. Could review, but chooses not, there will be another born of light. Fresh chance to learn of discovery, to reach and not seek out meaning. Weakest review, but chooses not, so his child in turn to contravening. For one learns the world from a father, all the mysteries of nature besides. Weakest review, but he chooses not, so another follows in those strides. End pop. This is me making up a form poem. Dick, what did you think?
I thought this one came out fabulous, and I remember asking you, is this a form or did you invent it? I think that the most potent part is how you expanded as you went from the title, three of each stanza, driving it further and further, but the repeat of chooses not is sadly powerful. Sadly powerful that he chooses not. Great share.
Thank you. And Hannah, what did you think of that one?
Yeah, isn't this Taylorisms?
Yeah,
you did one of these before.
Yeah, but
we discussed the importance of that third, of the third line.
What?
Yeah, you did one. We discussed the importance of the third line.
Yeah, I may have done something similar. I think you're right.
Oh,
Hatter.
No, you know what it is, Hatter? He read this one on a show, and you just remember it because that third line stands out.
No, it wasn't that line. It was, is this one you read? It wasn't too long ago.
I don't think it was. Yeah, that's right. I think I read this one. I'm just trying to.
Yeah,
because we had all this stuff about shows. And it might. Yeah, I mean, it's, I remember because we were off air for a couple of weeks. But I think I might have read it, Jeff. So.
Yeah, for sure. Because I'm looking at the comments and stuff, and like. It wasn't at first, but I remember the fact that we were all making a fuss over that, the build of that third line, and I remember saying to you, you really need to name this form.
Yeah. Yes.
Let me look.
I like it a lot. Anyway, Deb, I'm going to pass to you because I wanted you to talk about what was on the way forward this week on A Team of Voices.
I can do that. So let's see. We are off tomorrow because JCA is biweekly.
Mm-hmm.
He does the second. So on Monday, we have Pinterest potpourri, just a bunch of really cool pictures that I found, a mega variety, a little bit of something for everybody. So just pick your prompt and run with it. And then I'm thinking that there just might be a Hatter show in there in the mix. I'm double-checking because, that's the 16th. So we're off on the 16th. It's Sky is on the 17th Wednesday. And
yes.
I do not know if she has her board up because I'm not seeing. Oh, wait.
Yeah.
Here we go. A Boy Called Christmas is her prompt.
Yes.
And she has some characters and some art. And she usually does character studies or anything that ties into the story.
Quite a good book to write, too. Yeah.
And then we are off on Thursday because Sweet is away, and she will be back to do her shows in February.
Yes.
And
happy
then we have,
by the way,
we have our back-to-back poetry weekend as Linda goes live at 9 Friday night, open poetry. And then you back here, same time, same bat channel for open poetry Saturday at 9.
That's cool.
So the 16th, the Tuesday, is open for is open Tuesday?
It is open.
16th. Okay.
There you go.
I might fill it.
Okay. So, now, the last poem, Deb, is The Cloud, and I think it's a Percy Bysshe Shelley piece, who, of course, was a great rhyming poet. But I just before we went to air, I had to do a couple of stanzas, Deb. So this is my attempt at Percy Bysshe Shelley. Water's drops can stir gently as upon the coattails of another, hovering in still air, find that fog your vision will smother. Consumes your senses, firstly eyes, smell, then of course touch. And before long it's hard to tell where you are or anything much. Or like a kettle boiled, water can leap whereupon will curl in thunderclouds, whizzes therein tumbles the noisy swirl. Here those drops collide, pour forth the ground they splatter, hugely wide and heavy. They fall hard, absent a patter. Anyway, that's just me. Now I'm going to go into the proper poem. That was me filling in 10 minutes before I went to the, while I was waiting for the show to start. This is The Cloud, and it goes a little bit. Bring fresh showers for the thirsting flowers from the seas and streams. I bear light shade for the leaves when laid in their noonday dreams. From my wings are shaken the dews that waken the sweet buds, every one, and rock to rest on their mother's breast as she dances about the sun. I wield the flail of the lashing hail and whiten the green plains under, and then again I dissolve it in rain and laugh as I pass in thunder. I sift the snow on the mountains below and their great pine groans aghast, and all the night tis my pillow white while I sleep in the arms of the blast. Sublime on the towers, my sky bowers, lightning my pilot sits. In a cavern under is fettered the thunder, it struggles and howls it fits. Over earth and ocean with gentle motion, this pilot is gone, lured by the love of the sea that move in the depth of the purple sea. Over the rills and the crags and the hills, over the lakes and the plains, wherever he dream, under mountain or stream, the spirit he loves remains. And I, all the while, bask in heaven's blue smile, whilst he is dissolving in rains. The sanguine sunrise with his meteor eyes and his burning plumes outspread leaps in the back of my sailing rack when the morning star shines dead. As on the jag of a mountain crag which an earthquake rocks and swings, an eagle a lit one moment may sit at the light of its golden wings. And when the sunset may breathe from the lit sea beneath its ardour of rest and of love, and the crimson pall of eve may fall from the depth of heaven above, with wings folded they rest on mine airiness, as still as a brooding dove. That orbed maiden with white fire laden, whom mortals call the moon, glides glimmering over my fleece-like floor by the midnight breezes strewn. And wherever the beat of her unseen feet, which only the angels hear, may have broken the woof of my tent's thin roof, the stars peep behind her and peer. And I laugh to see them whirl and flee like a swarm of golden bees, when I widen the rent in my wind-built tent till the calm rivers, lakes and seas, like strips of the sky fallen through me on high, are each paved with the moon and these. I bind the sun's throne with a burning zone and the moon's with a girdle of pearl. The volcanoes are dim and the stars reel and swim while the whirlwinds my banner unfurl. From cape to cape with a bridge-like shape over a torrent sea, sunbeam-proof, I hang like a roof, the mountains its columns be. The triumphant arch through which I march with hurricane fire and show, when the powers of the air are chained to my chair, is the million-coloured bow, the sphere fire above its soft colours wove, while the moist earth was laughing below. I am the daughter of earth and water and the nursing of the sky. I pass through the pores of the ocean and shores. I change, but I cannot die. For after the rain, then will never a stain. The pavilion of heaven is bare. And the winds and sunbeams with their convex gleams build up the blue dome of air. I silently laugh at my own cenotaph and out of the caverns of rain. Like a child from the womb, like a ghost from the tomb, I arise and unbuild it again. End poem.
Great read.
That was fun. Nothing like a bit of...
Remind us who she is. When did she... When did she live?
I think it was a he, actually. But,
it's a he.
Okay. Yeah, 1792. In a place in Sussex, and it is a he.
Mm-hmm.
His father was a Sussex squire and member of Parliament, and he went and entered Oxford College. He was expelled from college for publishing The Necessity of Atheism, which he wrote with Thomas Jefferson Hogg, and he eloped with a 16-year-old, got his inheritance cancelled. So he was an interesting character, but he only lived to the age of 30, unfortunately, and then I think he got something like two. He
well,
drowned.
He's drowned.
Remember
right?
that? He drowned. Yeah, he drowned at the age of 30 in a small, amazing poet. And you know, as I said, around a good couple of hundred years ago. Had up. So there you go. A bit about Percy Bysshe Shelley.
Yeah.
So I've got a lovely...
I haven't heard of him before.
Yeah, I've got a lovely book that's written in the late 1800s. It's got a completely impractical. It's got a purple leather cover. Beautiful, beautiful book, but was never going to live very long. Okay, so I think we've got the end of things, Deb, in terms of the list. So it was going to be my intention to say thank you to Adam, thank you to Dick. Thank you to all the poets who went and put poems on the board. We'll be back again, same bat time, same bat channel for Open Poetry next week, and we'll do a classic poem as we go, or maybe two, which we did this week. Thank you everybody for participating, and it's been a pleasure to be here.
Yeah, we should you should announce what classic poet you're going to be spotlighting, so we could try writing in style or something.
I think that's a very good idea, Hatter. I hadn't thought about that. That's a good idea, and we will take advice on that and put it up a little
people
bit
call
earlier
my
to
people.
Give people a
yeah.
chance. Well,
yeah,
no, it's interesting because, as I said, I started writing Percy Shelley there for a while, so no, it's a good thought. Thank you, Dick. Thank you, Hatter. Thank you to all of our listeners and to all the people on the board. Thank you to a team of voices.
What? Can I say
yes,
one thing?
Of course.
I'm calling for a national or international boycott of Peacock TV television for paying $110 million for the rights of tonight's football wild card game, so nobody else can see it unless you pay the stream from them.
Really?
Well, the
wow.
thing about that,
that's...
Hatter, is you should be mad at the NFL for messing with us. Don't blame Peacock for showing it. Blame the NFL for messing with our schedules. I'm sitting here watching it right now because once upon a time, Peacock was free. And if you if you joined it while it was free, you get it for $2.
Yes.
Oh, wow. So I have it for $2. But like I said...
You got the game on right now?
It's on right now.
Yeah, but it's like the Monday Night Football, Thursday Night Football, and I believe they're working on Sunday Night Football, all being separate entities from the NFL schedule. That's why
I think that stinks.
Okay.
I hate it, and it should be the NFL
does.
You're mad at, not the channels that are
But they're going to do it again. They're going to do it again.
Well,
you make it so it's not profitable for anybody to do that. They did it in baseball once. They went on strike the mid-season, and they couldn't fill a stadium for 6 years.
Again, I say it's the NFL doing it, not Peacock. They're just putting it out there so we can see it.
Yeah, they went. Yeah, okay, I agree. But you can't. You got to stop it somewhere. You got to stop.
Yeah, no,
it
no,
from
I agree.
Happening because
I agree.
They took the Sweet 16 off the schedule also.
So Hatter, here in Australia,
mm-hmm.
we actually get legislated that there's got to be certain sporting programs that have to be on free to air television. Right? There's a list of right, and so it doesn't matter if it's Peacock, Hoopla, Umbrella, or whatever, they've still got to be free-to-air, right? Now, unless you actually have some form of legislation that stops this occurring, or unless there's some form of consumer protest against this happening, then I suspect it'll happen more, Hatter, unfortunately. Because where there's a buck to be made, people will go and make the buck, yeah?
Okay, I got to figure out how to talk Deb into opening her video from her phone and let me watch.
now we've actually got a way forward. So, we will talk about the wonders of all of that next week. But thank you, Deb. Thank you, Hatter. And we will be back same bat time, same bat channel for Open Poetry next week. Thank you, everybody, and talk soon.
What's the score, Deb?
Thanks for
What's
sponsoring
score, Deb?
Us. 13-7.
What's the score, Deb? Okay.
Thank you, Deb. Talk everybody. Okay. Cheers.
Okay. All right. Bye.
Bye.